As soon as you add anything, join our church, give money to our ministry, or like whatever your thing is that you think is going to save you or whatever, it's all wrong. But people try to add to that. Watch out for that. That's a dangerous teaching.
It's not our works that earn eternal life, says Pastor Brett Metter. The only way to heaven is our faith in God's grace.
Jesus said this, if you believe in me, you will not perish but have everlasting life, saving you by his grace through faith alone, because he's the resurrection and the life.
Lazarus was dead and buried for 4 days when Jesus finally arrived on the scene, raised him back to life, demonstrating his power over life and death. And it's here, as the familiar story unfolds in John chapter 11, that Jesus makes his fifth I Am statement. As we listen into today's word, Pastor Brett Metter uncovers how Jesus has secured eternal life for all who believe.
Turn with me to John chapter 11. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes 7 big declarations, and we call them the I Am statements. And the reason we're doing that is because he's connecting the I Am of the Old Testament. If you know that story, it's the story of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where God said, you know, to Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. And this is the name of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great tetragrammaton, YHWH. And then the rest of the Bible fills in the blank. Well, you are what, Lord? You are, and then in the Old Testament, there's neat associations like Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, or Jehovah Rapha, our healer, or Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And it goes on, you know, even more than those. There's so many rich gleanings from the names of God of the Old Testament. But then Jesus jumps on that same, you know, idea of the I Am of the Old Testament, and he claiming to be God, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. And then he tells the Jews, you know, before Abraham was, I am, ego eimi, the same Greek translation of the Old Testament. So when he makes these I am statements, he's saying, I am as God, and then he fills in the blanks even more of who he is. And it's such a rich thing. Each of these 7 declarations, we happen to be on the 5th of 7 today. So far we've covered, I am the bread of life. Jesus declared that in John chapter 6, verse 35. We looked at Jesus being the light of the world, John 8, 12. And we as people in a dark world, we need to walk into his marvelous light. We talked about that. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. And the door is kind of that imagery that you need to go through that door. There's no other door to go through to be saved. There's a broad gate and a wide door that leads to destruction, but there's a narrow path that leads to salvation. And Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. If you want to be part of his flock, under his shepherding, you got to go through his door, the door. And then I am the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11, verse 14. And these have been really, really important to know who the Lord is and our understanding of who Jesus is and what he was doing. So this brings us to John chapter 11, where we have our fifth of the I am statements. And it kind of comes with a story. Before we get into the actual declaration, I want to set the stage for where he makes this declaration here in John chapter 11. It actually happens in a little town called Bethany. Bethany's just outside of Jerusalem. And this is where Jesus' friends, did Jesus have a lot of friends? Well, we know he had his disciples. We know he was really close to John and even Peter, James, and John, and then the 12. But nobody really gets that name, the friends of Jesus, as much as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's kind of interesting. This little sibling crew in Bethany, they had a little house, and Jesus would go and stay with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were close. Even in John 11, we're going to see where it says, and Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Like, he had a special place just personally as friends with these people, which is kind of important. You should note that. But Jesus would often go into the temple and minister, but then at night he'd do that little 15-minute hike across the Mount of Olives and go into Bethany, and that's kind of where this story is going to take place. And so Jesus going to Bethany often really became close to them. Now, with Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there was a lot of tension already that was starting to rise about Jesus. In fact, you got to remember that the leaders, the religious leaders, were already hunting Jesus down and wanting to kill him. That's already in place. So Jesus is not right now hanging out in Judea. He's just outside of Judea when this story begins. But he's kind of been laying low because the last time he was there, they were trying to find him, hunt him down to kill him. Well, the story begins in chapter 11 in Bethany, where Lazarus, his friend, becomes really sick. And so Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus to come and help them. And when they send for Jesus, Jesus makes an interesting comment. He says, Lazarus is not sick unto death, but what he's going through right now, it's meant to glorify the Son of God. That's what he says. So that's what's going on. I wonder if that gave Mary and Martha comfort. Oh, this is not unto death and it's for the glory of the Son of God. Cool. Maybe they're thinking that was great when they got that message. But the problem might seem for Mary and Martha is Jesus didn't come right away. He's just a short traveling distance away from Lazarus and being able to help him, but he just doesn't come. And the sad part of the story is Lazarus ends up dying. And they're, you know, suddenly, you know, I wonder what they were thinking. I mean, we can only wonder. The Bible doesn't really tell us what they were thinking, but man, you know, if you're the friend of Jesus and he just doesn't show up when you're one of your best friends is like, how would you feel if your best friend could help you and had some medicine for you or something and kind of said, I'll come in a few days. Hopefully I'll get there in time. You might be a little bit bummed out. But you kind of sense that when we get a little further in the story. I'll tell you why. Well, eventually, a few days later, Jesus says, hey, let's go to Judea. The disciples say, oh man, that's not a good idea, Lord, going to Judea. They're hunting you down. They want to kill you. But Jesus says, nope, we're going to go. And Jesus says this interesting little declaration. He says, by the way, Lazarus is sleeping. And the disciples go, cool, that's good when a sick guy is getting some rest, man. That's awesome. But Jesus meant like dead. But they didn't understand that, which is kind of interesting. All this language, it's a little bit cryptic, but Jesus is about to do something amazing. That's why. Now, notice with me a couple things already. Jesus is never seen in a hurry. He seems to be kind of directed by the Father and the timing and everything. He's never stressed. He's never in a hurry. He just is kind of calmly doing what God wants him to do. And that's something that some of us struggle with. Like we're always shockingly busy, in a hurry, and don't have time for anything. It's not really a Christ-like behavior. Jesus is always talking about the time. And one of the things is timing for Lazarus, but also timing for his death. The disciples say, you shouldn't go to Judea, man. They want to kill you. But Jesus is like, nah, you know, mine hour is not yet come. He knows it's okay. I'm going to go and I'm not going to die until the time of, you know, my death is, if there's an appointed time to die. That can make you and I as Christians, if we understand that you have an appointment with death and God knows when that is, and we don't have to worry or freak out or stress out. We can just say, you know what? I'm gonna live my life and do what God calls me to do. All the fun stuff, all the difficult stuff, I'm just gonna do it. And you don't have to be afraid. Or you're like, cool, Brett, I'm gonna go skydiving after church. Well, that might be your appointment with death. It might be, I don't know. But who knows? You do have an appointment. You might just bring it a little faster than what we all thought. But no, the idea is confidence and not walking and living in fear. I'm sad that there's so many people that live in fear so much. It really ruins your life. But Jesus and his disciples start making their way to Bethany. Well, Martha comes running out and she says, oh Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother had not died. And you know what's interesting about that is you can almost sense she's trying to be polite, but she's kind of bummed. Oh Lord, if you'd only been here. I wonder how she said that. I don't know. But you kind of sense, man, she's heartbroken for sure. If you'd only been here, our brother Lazarus, you know, your friend, wouldn't have died. And Jesus starts this interesting conversation. You know, Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha says, yeah. You know, like, oh, I know, you know, he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know. But she doesn't realize, no, Jesus said, no, he's going to rise again today. He's got a whole different plan that's going to be quite miraculous. But she's like, yeah. I think she's not really hearing what Jesus says. And that's where suddenly we have Jesus make this profound declaration. You know, after this, Jesus says, you know, your brother's going to rise again. Yeah, I know he's going to rise the last day in resurrection. But then Jesus says something, and this is where we get to our fifth declaration. It's chapter 11, right here in verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Man, this is powerful. Like these red letters here, I hope you understand, Jesus is saying some giant things. One of the things he's saying is one of the great I am statements. I am the resurrection and life. Now, let me remind you, Jesus did not say in these I am statements, I am the one who will give you bread. He said, I am the bread. He didn't say, I will show you where the shepherd is. I am the good shepherd. He didn't say, I'll take you to the door. I am the door. And in the same way of all these, he's saying, I am the personification of these things. This is the same today. He's not saying, I have the power to resurrect you from the dead. Jesus is going bigger even than that. He's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And then what do you do? Well, if you believe in me, he says, though you were dead, yet shall he live. And this is all, pointing to what he's about to do with Lazarus. Jesus is going to show that he has the power over life and death. And he's going to demonstrate that amazingly with Lazarus. And Martha, she doesn't really fully understand. I don't blame her. I don't think I would have either. But I love Martha for at least saying, yeah, he'll rise again in the resurrection. Like, I understand that she's got a certain faith. But then Jesus ends his little statement there with, Martha, do you believe this? And she says, I believe you're the Christ, which means the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So you got to give Martha some credit. You really do. But all that to say, here's where Jesus declares himself to be the resurrection and the life. Powerful declaration. Now, before we do a little deeper dive into this, let's kind of finish the story. So Mary is still at the house. Martha and Jesus just had their little conversation, and Jesus starts making his way. And when he gets closer to the house, then Mary comes out. And Mary, she does the first thing she always does. Does anybody know what that is? She's always falling at the feet of Jesus. Whenever you see, Mary of Bethany, she's always seen at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. You gotta love that about Mary. Martha was kind of the busy one, doing a lot of the work and very logistical. We'll get back to that in a second. But Mary was a worshiper, and so she just falls down at his feet. But she says the exact same thing Martha says. Oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother had not died. You can tell Mary and Martha have probably been talking, at the house. Have you ever noticed you can tell who's talking with each other by what they're saying? They use the same words, same language. Poor Mary and Martha, they're probably sitting around the house, man, if Jesus had only been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Yeah, if Jesus had only been here. It's like you can tell they were talking, I think. But Mary's, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother had not died. And then so Jesus says, well, where have you laid him? And so they bring Jesus now to the tomb. And this is where we have the shortest verse in the Bible. In verse 35, you'll get a memory verse right now. You can check a box. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in all the Bible. But while it's the shortest verse and you've got it memorized already, which is great, congratulations, it's actually a really deep thought. I mean, when you think about what makes God weep? I mean, think about this for a second. I've kind of wrestled with this one. Why would Jesus be weeping at this moment? Now, maybe your beginner thinker might say, well, of course, Lazarus is dead. No wonder he's weeping. Yeah, but Jesus knows he's about to raise him from the dead. If I were Jesus, which I'm not, but if I were, I'd be giddy with excitement. Oh, wait till you guys see what I'm about to do. This is gonna be awesome. I would say that. But Jesus, he's not doing that. He's weeping. Why? Well, maybe, and there's some real evidence on this one. Maybe he's just so full of compassion, which Jesus does that all the time. He's that way with you. Maybe he's just so full of compassion, like Romans 12, 15, mourning with those who mourn, weeping with those who weep. That's a very godly kind of compassion that Jesus displays when he's here on this earth. Maybe he's just seeing hurt Mary and hurt Martha and the people of Bethany. They're all just kind of, Lazarus died. Maybe he's just weeping with them. That'd be totally legit. Or maybe, and I wouldn't die on this battlefield, but I'll just throw another suggestion out there for you. Maybe he's really sad because he's gonna have to bring Lazarus back to this old dark world. Like he's in paradise right now. Like he's like, oh, paradise. Hey, Abraham, nice to meet you. Oh, wow, this is awesome. And he's just totally doing good. And all of a sudden, like he's like, oh man, I gotta bring Lazarus back. Oh. And Lazarus said, I wonder how that conversation went in paradise. Lazarus, would you come here? Yeah, this is awesome. What do you need, Lord? I need to send you back. Oh. No, Lord, no, don't make me go back. Like, what did that conversation look like? I don't know. Maybe he's like, oh, you gotta bring Lazarus back. This is really sad. I don't know, but maybe. I think that when we all get to heaven, that might even be more funny then than it is today. Because we're gonna realize how wonderful, the place the Lord has prepared for us is gonna be. But Lazarus has to come back. He's gonna die again. So he's got to die twice. Maybe that's what Jesus is sad about. But all that to say, he's gonna be resurrected. So Jesus obviously knows he's about to do that. So then we come to the place where, he's weeping with them. And then he says, roll away the stone from the tomb. Now, Little Miss Practical, some of you know who you are. There's men and women that are very much Martha, you know, engineering minds, thinking logically, doing the math in their head, thinking about stuff and kind of like, you can't do that. Yes, you can do that. Like if you're one of those people, you're like more like a Martha. It's okay. We're thankful for you. You bring stability to the world. And the dishes get done. It's really great. Like, and buildings are built and stuff like that, but it's just a personality trait. So the Lord says, roll away the stone. And then Martha goes, oh Lord, but he stinketh. That's what the King James says. He's been in there for 4 days, she says. And Lord, he stinketh. Don't roll away the stone. I wonder if some of you that, you know, it's truly a blessing to have that logical thinking mind. I think it's really good. But one of the things I want to give you just a little word of caution is to think that, you know, she's trying to thwart the glorious work that Jesus is about to do because it doesn't fit her world of logic. If you roll away the stone, it's going to stink and it's embarrassing. But Jesus is like, just roll away the stone because he's about to do a great work. That's pretty cool. Another thing I want to say before we get to the next part, notice how just because Jesus was friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Jesus loved them very much, did you notice that didn't insulate them from trouble? Just because they were really close friends with Jesus, it didn't insulate them from trouble. One thing that I hear people say, if God is love, then why do bad things happen to good people? Well, first of all, there are no good people. Let's get that clear right out of the gate. We're all sinners. We all fall short. No one's righteous, not even one. So that throws that argument out kind of right there. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, but I thought we're the friends of God. You know, like Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. Just like Mary Martin, like we have that friendship as Christians, we have that friendship. But just like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, just because they're the friends of Jesus doesn't mean they're going to live petunias from this day forward. It's not going to be rosy and everything's going to be perfect. They're actually going to go through suffering. And I just want to remind you, just because you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord doesn't mean your life is necessarily going to be rosy. But you do know, by the way, you know, Romans 8:28, we know, Paul said, that all things work together for good for to them that are loving God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's a promise from God. So he's working it together, even as he's doing with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It just doesn't seem very good at this point. He's dead. He stinks. Everything's kind of bad. But Martha would have stopped it just with what, you know, you might call the paralysis of analysis. But Lord, he stinketh. Watch out for that. You might sell short what God wants to do in your life. So Jesus says a prayer to the Father, and then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I'm glad that he said, Lazarus, come forth, because if he would have just said, come forth, I'm pretty sure the whole cemetery would have come up. We would have had a thriller moment, you know? Everybody coming, oh, it's like, no. He says, Lazarus, you come forth. And so Lazarus, boing, 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 boing. Now you say, Brett, why are you boinging? Because I'm pretty sure that's what happened. If you don't believe me, I'm telling the story just for speed, but look at verse 44. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him, let him go. That's why I said, boing, boing, boing. Lazarus, come forth. Like he's hopping out or whatever. If you don't believe me, I'm checking it out on HeavenTube when I get to heaven. I'm gonna look at it and see what actually happened there. But I'm pretty sure it had to have been almost joyful, funny, shocking. Yeah, scary. I mean, the whole thing had to have been quite an experience for everybody. So they run and they loose him. But you know, if you fast forward in the story, Lazarus became famous. Did you know that? He became a celebrity. I'll show you where we read that. It's John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, Jesus. And they came not just for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also who he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. This is so full of so much we could talk about. First of all, it's shocking. Isn't it something that Lazarus became so famous that the religious leaders wanted to kill him? Like, think about this for a second. The guy that Jesus just raised from the dead, religion wanted to kill him. Does that still happen today? It really does. What do you mean, Brett? First of all, what did Lazarus do to raise from the dead? What was his role in the thing? Zip. He just died. And God took care of everything else. What's interesting to me about that is that's how you and I are going to be resurrected. I mean, yes, you and I are responsible for faith, to believe. We're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, the gift from God, not of your works. We're saved by grace through faith. So when you die, some of you are nervous. When I die, I hope I raise up from the dead, and I hope, but you're not involved with that. You can put your trust in Jesus, who has power over life and death. And if you believe in him, Jesus said, though you were dead, yet shall you live. And so Lazarus had nothing to do with it. But you know what religion, dead religion does? It wants to kill that. Oh, you think you can just say a prayer of faith and be saved? There's more to it than that. You need to, and as soon as you start filling in the blanks, you're already off course. Like even good stuff, I've mentioned this before, like if you gotta be saved by grace through faith and you gotta be baptized. Baptism is a beautiful thing a Christian does when they're obedient. But that's not what saves you and gets you to heaven, baptism. Otherwise, when Jesus was hanging on the cross with a thief, he would have said, hold on, we gotta get off the cross. I gotta baptize you so you can go be with, today you'll be with him in paradise, but we gotta go baptize you. Didn't do that, why? Because baptism is a beautiful, obedient thing we do, but it's not what saves you, that's a work of the flesh. And that's true of anything. As soon as you add anything, join our church, give money to our ministry, or like whatever your thing is that you think is gonna save you or bring you to the virgins or whatever, it's all wrong. Jesus said this, if you believe in me, you will not perish, but have everlasting life, because he's the resurrection and the life, Jesus is. Dead religion wants to snuff that out. That's why I keep cautioning people, because there's kind of more of a movement, I think more than ever right now in the modern church, to sort of try to get away from God saving you by his grace through faith, faith alone. But people try to add to that. Watch out for that, that's a dangerous teaching. I would consider that like these chief priests saying, let's put him back to death. Putting to death what Christ wants to make alive. That's an interesting thing.
Pastor Brett Metter warning us that try as we might, man's efforts fall far short of entering eternal life. But our hope is made sure by way of the reassuring promise of Jesus declaring he is the resurrection and the life. As demonstrated in today's word, by the raising of Lazarus and our verse-by-verse study of John chapter 11. And I hope you'll stick around in just a moment. Pastor Brett will be back to join me in the studio. But first, our teacher, Brett Metter, is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland in West Lynn, Oregon. Brett's been the pastor of Athey Creek Church for almost 30 years, where it's grown to one of the largest in the Pacific Northwest. We'd like to invite you to listen each day for more of today's word. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. Well, I do have Pastor Brett with me now. And Brett, for those who don't know your story as pastor of Athey Creek Church, can you go back to 1996 when you first felt God's call to start a church?
Sure, Kurt. That's a fun story. I really have a pretty simple story, and that is I was an assistant pastor of a large church, but always in the back of my mind thinking, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was able to start a church and teach through the Bible? And I kind of waited for that timing of the Lord, and it was 1996 that the Lord really stirred my heart, and my wife and I prayed about where the Lord would send us. And one of the big kickers back in 1996 was when I saw the statistic from the, you know, Gallup polls kind of people, that Portland and Seattle were jockeying back and forth for the least church cities in America. And so I thought, man, why not see about starting a church in Portland, Oregon? And so we moved up virtually knowing no one in Portland, and brought the kids and the cat and the dog and just moved up. But, we just decided to start a Bible study. We started with that. And then a few weeks later, we got a middle school where we began teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible. And that's really how we formed. It just started with people, word of mouth, no advertising. And we really felt like God made that happen according to his plan and purpose. It wasn't us really doing anything that amazing. It was just, I think the Lord just called us to do it simply. And we just saw really good fruit from that point forward.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that story, Pastor Brett. And I want to remind our listeners that we'll be here each day to go through God's Word. For more information about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also make a comment or share a prayer request. Again, todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you can be back. as we examine how Jesus revealed his divine power over death. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.